The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Amen. But have you been blessed today? What I want to show you is that when we come to church, whether we are singing or we are praying or we are preaching, we are getting blessed. The most important thing is that what we are doing is the word. When we are praying according to the word. When we are preaching the word. And when we are singing, let us make sure we are singing the word. Then we'll be getting blessed. Amen. Okay, quickly, I want to share something with you. Then I'll pray. The major thing I came here to do is to lay hands on you and pray over your life, not just spiritual things. Jeremiah 9 verse 11, very quickly. It's not a good place that we are today. Are you not happy we are here today? You are not. You don't like good things in your life. Amen. How many of you know that this is still our year of increase? Is it manifesting already? Hallelujah. Jeremiah 29 verse 11, of course, the popular Jeremiah. What did he say? Let's read together. If you are there, say amen. You must be talking in this meeting. If I stone your mouth. If you are there, say amen. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. You are not there. Stop. Is everybody there? Jeremiah 29 verse 11. You don't know where Jeremiah is in your Bible? You've been reading only Ephesians, the Pauline gospel. You will read Bible today. Meanwhile, God bless the choir. Why blessed by the administrations? And Gerard was awesome today on the drums, you know. I'm telling you the truth. I'll very soon start hosting some major worship concerts. Amen. Glory to God. Now, are you in Jeremiah 29 verse 11? Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Said the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you what? God has a plan for us. You know, I want to start by letting you know that God has a plan for you. God thinks good thoughts towards you. Bring it down a little. I'm going to go by teaching first 10 to 15 minutes. Then we'll start hitting. God has a plan for you. Bible said he knows the thoughts he has for you. He said there are thoughts of good and not of evil. I'd like you to be assured of the character of God when it has to do with your physical life. There's a doctrine that is parading itself all over the place now, and these are very sincere people, but then they tend to teach or to explain that when you get coming to Christ, the only thing he cares about is your salvation and the forgiveness of your sins. And then after that forgiveness of your sins, he's no longer interested. So we say, when you come to church, don't talk about material things. You need to be assured of the character of God or where God stands when it has to do with your finance, your academics, your business, your marriage. I'd like you to know that we are not serving a God who just got us saved and now said, why you're on earth here is not my business. Face your life. That's not the God we are serving. Take it a point. We serve a God who got us saved and still he is interested in our everyday life. He said, I know the thoughts I have towards you. He said, I want to give you a future and a hope. That's how interesting you put it, right? A future and a hope. God is interested in our physical life. In 3 John, verse 2, not John, 3 John. 3 John. We're going to touch places you've not been reading in your Bible today. 3 John, verse 2. There's a lot of arguments on that verse, but I will not do it today. I will not even answer it. He said, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospereth. Some people say the prosperity is talking about the spiritual prosperity. Well, that's not really true. Okay, I know there's this that has to do with that. But he said, that you may prosper and be in health. He said, even as your soul prospers. So God is interested in the prosperity of your soul. Quite all right. That talks about your spiritual growth and all. But he's also interested in your prospering, even financially, and even your health prospering. I get the point. He wants you to prosper in your health. We are not serving a God who we came to him and he said anything about your money is your business. No. He's interested in everything that concerns us. The wonderful thing about, that's why we did this song, I Have a Father. The wonderful thing about our Father, is interested in everything concerning you. Are you getting the point now? He's not one God who doesn't care. He is interested in everything that has to do with you. That's why he's father. Are you following me this morning? In everything. In 1 Timothy 6, let me show you. I just want to explain this to you before I start talking about what I'm talking about today. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, I don't know people that say that don't talk about money in church, talk about good health, or don't talk about success in church. I know what they're fighting, and I'm going to explain that. They're trying to fight to be materialistic. I'll address that shortly. In 1 Timothy 6 verse 17, the Bible said, "Judge them that are rich in this world." That rich there, is it physical or spiritual? Look at the Bible. Judge them that are rich. Is it spiritual riches? Aha. So people can be rich, amen? That they, what did he say you should tell them? That they be not high-minded, but trust in, not trust in uncertain riches. I'll still come to this verse later. But in the living God. What is the character of the living God in that verse? He gives us what? All things. To what? To enjoy. Are you getting me? He doesn't just give us, he gives us richly. So we serve a God that gives us richly all things to do orili bam bam non. Do you understand? To enjoy. It's more fear, just looking. Even you precious, you're confused. Upon all the evil that you are. Amen. He gives us richly all things to enjoy. So I'm trying to let you know that we serve a God who is interested in your physical life. He's interested in your academics. He's interested in your career. He's interested in your job. He's interested in your finance. That is the God we serve. Are you getting me? He's interested in what concerns you. I told somebody, I said, if it matters to you, it matters to God. He cares about you so much that he numbered the hairs. You know, I used to tell people, I said, the Bible did not say that he counted it. Bible said he numbered it. So it's not like he just knows the number of hairs on your head. No. On your head. He knows them by no. He gave them number. So I'm going to explain. When you copy your hair and one fell out, he knows that number. So rather than six fell out today. That's how much he cares about every single detail about your life. I know what I'm talking about. He's that scared. He's that involved. I tell my friends, I said, if it gives me, somebody came to me and said, sir, can God cure pimple? I said, if he bothers you, it will bother God. Did you understand now? If he bothers you, it's going to bother him. Let me show you something else. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8. 2 Corinthians, I love this scripture. Who has like NLT or something? New Living Translation? Wait. I think they should read. Do you have it? Okay, let's read the King James first. He said, but God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Read with NLT. Give her the mic.
And God will generously provide all.
Come on, read it like woman of God now. Read it. Come on.
And God will generously provide all you need.
Come, how will he provide all we need? What does it mean to be generous? Huh? What is generous? I know you don't know English. All these medical people. I say generous. What does generous mean? I think what does it mean in Igbo? I say what does it mean in explain generous. How did you pass GS? Come on, continue.
Then you
come and start again.
And God will give you. God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others.
He said you will have everything you need and have plenty left over to share with others. That is your portion this morning. Are you getting me? You will not just have what you need. Somebody said no, that's actually what God only does is to meet your need. When you have a need, he meets the need. That verse said no. He will give generously. He will not just meet your need. He will give you so much that you will have left over with us. I'm talking to you, I think I can hear better amen to that. Come on. He will give you left over to share with others. That's the character of God. He said God will do this. So it's not that you will. It's not like I got saved and God is just giving me. Say, if somebody said how God cares is, you know, when you need 10 naira, he gives it to you and says, when you need the next one, just come. No, that's not God. Even our parents treat like that our children, right? When you were a child, your dad treated you that way. But you know, it gets to the time when the child begins to grow, you tell the child, you need an account for yourself. Is that correct? companies are giving money. God gives generously that you have all you need and you have plenty left over to share with others. If that is you this morning, give Lord a big shout. Come on. Hallelujah. Now let me explain something to you. Jesus did not die for your physical needs. That is the truth. Jesus did not die. The reason Jesus died on the cross is not for you to have money. No. And that's the part people normally get confused. Say Jesus died because he died, I cannot be poor. Now that's very wrong to say. The reason Jesus died was to pay for your sins only. Did you get what I said? Where the Bible said that he was made poor that I might be made rich. That being made poor there is not financial poverty. Jesus was not poor physically that he might become rich. Jesus was never poor. You know what I said? Tell them I said he was never poor. The guy had everything he needed at every point in time. A guy that could stand and multiply 5 loaves. He's a poor person. How many of you know Jesus had a treasurer? You know that? What's his name? If you don't have money, you don't need treasurer. He had sheep. Jesus had a Rosemary. You get the point? He had a sister Rose. He had someone that was giving his money. And the Bible tells us in a place in the Bible that the Bible said that when Jesus, listen, when Jesus told you that whatever you want to do, do quickly. Bible said the disciples thought that he was telling him about giving to the poor, which they normally do. So Jesus does so much that once in a while they share their stuff with people. I get the point. The guy was not poor. Jesus had 12 guys who were, they were his disciples, and they were always with him. They were eating. I get the point. So he was not made poor physically. When Jesus was made poor, it was talking about spiritual poverty, that he might become rich spiritually too, not physically. I get the point. So his death on the cross was not for spiritual things. That should settle in your head. In Matthew 1 verse 21, the Bible says his name shall be called Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. The reason he died was to pay for sins. However, when Jesus died, when we received him, he gave us his spirit. Is that correct? And part of what we received in receiving that spirit is the power gift of the spirit. How many of you know about the power gifts? What are the power gifts? Gift of healing, gift of faith, and gift of what? Working of miracles. These power gifts address physical needs. I hope you know. But it says miracles address physical needs. Healing is a physical need. So we can say Jesus did not die on the cross that you may receive your healing. I know you are thinking about by the stripes you are healed. Don't forget that verse. By the stripes you are healed, he's not talking about healing, physical healing. Take it to anywhere. Tell them one pastor you met in Enugu said it. But that's the truth. Actually, if you study that place very well, that place is talking about healing for our sins, not our sicknesses. That's the truth. I will not explain that to them. I've done that before. But that does not mean Jesus does not heal our sicknesses. If you check the Bible, you find out that even before Jesus died, people were already getting healed. Is that correct? We did not need his stripes to be healed. Who cares what I'm talking about today? Even in the Old Testament, people are getting healed. So where is healing and material provision in Christ? It is found in that he has given us his spirit, and we have the power gifts. We have the power to work miracles, and in that power, we can create anything we want to see in our lives. So Jesus did not die for you to have a car. But Jesus gave you the spirit. And in that spirit, you have the power to create anything you want. I hope you know. It's a power gift of the spirit. That's why Jesus did not die for maybe to begin to pass your exam. But I can speak by the spirit and the power of God and cause you to pass the exam. How many know it's possible? I can speak. So God is interested in your physical life. I know the problem people have. In fact, you cannot talk about God. In fact, you cannot talk about Jesus. How many of you know that Jesus is the true character of God? You know, right? You cannot talk about Jesus, start talking about how he provided for material things. The guy came and saw 5,000 guys. He multiplied. You know, that scripture really gets me mad anytime I read it. I don't know about you, but what I do sometimes is I just go to the Bible, open Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and I'll be looking at the miracles of Jesus. I'll be smiling. No, Jesus did some physical miracles that you cannot explain. The guy turned water into wine. You don't understand. He got water. Water. And somebody said something. I've not checked it. I've not investigated. But the person said, the pots that Jesus got that water from, where the pots at the door, where they possibly wash people's feet when they enter the place. So it was a dirty pot and dirty water. The guy took water from that dirty place and gave it to them, say, drink. It became wine. That's a miraculous. Wine finished. I believe in miracles. I get to the point. I believe in miracles. He is involved in your life, in your physical life. The guy, Peter, needed money. He said, okay, go to the river. He said, catch fish. Open the mouth. It wasn't a parable. And people say, God cannot give you supernatural cash. He can't know. How many of you ever received an alert? You finished praying, you received an alert. I don't know who sent it. I've seen things. A well-respected mentor of mine told me a story. He said, they finished praying. He said, I'll need you to do something today. You need to get a time where you begin to trust in the power of God to provide for your needs. He said, he got a time, they've been, sometimes when you talk too much, they were doing exegesis and they were exegeting themselves out of the promises of God. You know what I say now? They say, God doesn't really, he just died for our sins. He said, when God corrected him, said he called his wife, said, let us pray, Father, we still believe you for provision. They finished praying, he said, he called all his children, small children, they came. He said, begin to write. Let's make a list of everything we need in this house. When you tell children to make a list, Candy Crush, everything, chocolate, everything. He said he was careful enough not to tell them that is too much. They were writing. Daddy, we need boats. You know, children, we need. He said, after everything, he said, let's hold our hands together and let's believe God for these things. So they joined their hands together and they prayed and believed God for it. That same week, he said, suddenly, he got an alert. $500,000. 500,000. He said, the problem was not that he got the alert. He got the alert, he saw the name, but he didn't know the person. So he even got to church and was announcing because a pastor. And said, please, who is this person? He put it on Facebook. Who is the name today? I'm telling you. He said, before the end of that week, another one came in, this one from a known person. Another 500,000. He said, they entered market. They were buying. He said he made sure he bought all those things the children needed. You know why? If you don't buy it, you are training the children not to believe in God. You know what I said? Because it's not the other day that I will finish praying. I even wrote chocolate. Ordinary chocolate God cannot give me. So he said, he made sure they bought everything, all those things they wrote down. You get the point? So you must go to a point where you know that God works miracles. The guy multiplied 5 loaves. The guy does plenty things. And it's not what happens by chance. He's always doing it. He's interested in people's physical life. He was passing. He saw that woman, the widow at Nain. They were carrying her dead child. He stopped the coffin and raised the woman, the woman's child. That's how he does his things. Hallelujah. I know why people don't normally preach. Some word guys don't normally preach about the goodness of God in terms of material things. It's because they're scared of materialism. They're scared that people will become materialistic. And let me explain materialism to you. Materialism is not having too much money. No. A rich man can be materialistic. A poor man sometimes is more materialistic than a rich man. Can I explain that to you? Matthew chapter 6, let me show you. Materialism is not having too much money. You can be a poor person and yet you're very materialistic. You don't know. In fact, poor people are more material. Let me show you something. Are you in Matthew chapter 6? Verse 24. I'd like you to fix your eyes there. I want to show you. It's going to be just about how many verses? Let's just read the verse 32. Just fix your eyes there. Are you there? Just listen carefully to what I'm reading. Listen carefully. You learn this. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will go to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and what? And mammon. Therefore I say unto you. Now how do people serve mammon? He's telling us in verse 25. Therefore, how will people not serve God and mammon rather? In verse 25, how? Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body or what you shall put on. Is not the life more than the meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Are you getting this? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment, that's clothes? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I saw unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, somebody say, wherefore? If God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? He clothes us much more. Okay, therefore, verse 31, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do these Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. So how do people serve Mammon? Huh? Come on, what? Worry, right? Get being consumed with money. And poor people do that a lot. Hallelujah. Being consumed. So he says, do not bother. He said, look at the best of the air. He said, they don't worry, they don't sow, yet God provides for them. What is serving mammon? What is materialism? When you allow money to consume you, when I mean consume you, I mean when you allow either the presence, the absence of money to consume you. Say that again. When you allow either the presence, some people, they have too much money, they begin to misbehave. That's all their pride. That is materiality, a materialistic person. And some become so poor that they worry too much. And you see, I've been serving God. And yes, I don't have money. You're a materialistic person. You get the point? The way Kenneth Hagin put it, he said, God is not against you having money. God is against money having you. Do you hear what I say now? He's not against you having too much. He's against you coming to a point where life is not allowed. It's now all about money. That's not God. Life is now all about money. How much do you have? How can I? If that is all you care about, then you're a materialistic person, whether you are rich or you are poor. Who is learning something today? Oh, let me ask another question. What is contentment? What does it mean to be content? People normally say, sir, the Bible teaches we should be content. We should not ask for too much money. Let's just be normal. So somebody said, all I want in my life is just once I can pay for one room. You're not a content. You're not contented by thinking that way. You're a mediocre. That's not contentment. That's mediocrity. Are you getting me? Once I can just pay for one room. Why are you paying for one room? Sleep under the bridge. Sleep under the bridge. Stay there. And that's how some of us act in our academics too. Once I can just make a 2-2. What is wrong with you? Who has first class? Who has 2-1? And sometimes when you aim for 2-2, I tell you where you will land, third class. And together time you say, Father, if I can just leave this school with my mates. Can you imagine? That doesn't mean you are being content.